Welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Kavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
You still are.
I still am. Will Alexander. Next to me is Wendell Clark. No.
there may be some hockey references today. Can't promise it, but it was a big day in the playoffs. We're going to talk about the big shows in Perry, Georgia, the American Pointer Club National Specialty, respect and responsibilities for your animals and your friends, and judges being kind and helping one another and making sure that we all stay positive in our wonderful sport. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive. Young William, how the heck are you, buddy?
I'm right as the mail. Is that how it said? Right as the mail?
Rain,
right
as, I believe it's rain.
Right as the rain? Right as the, I don't know. Yeah. I'm good.
Right as Wayne. Maybe that's what it is.
Right as the Wayne. That's it. Yeah. Right is the Wayne. Right well, as the Wayne.
I'm feeling really good this morning. I slept from 7 to 3, and I woke up feeling like a power play. Oh, I'm so sorry, Will. Oh. I am so sorry. Did I just say that?
Well, thanks for coming out, folks.
It was a bad hockey reference. I shouldn't tease young one.
You were saving that, weren't you?
I was saving that. I thought of it last night around the third period. Anyway, better game coming up for the Leafs, but wasn't pretty game one. Playoffs are starting. The Seattle Kraken won their first game. And there's the hat on young William showing off.
Yep, I'm wearing my Kraken hat to support my West Coast team.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not 28 anymore, so I'm not staying up for those 10:30 games, those West Coast games. I watched the puck drop, and all of a sudden I watched my eyelids drop, too. It was the end of that. But anyway, I just got back. Where were you this weekend?
Where was I this weekend? Oh, I was in a town called Petawawa. At the Champlain Kennel Club. Yeah. That's where I was.
Were you adjudicating or showing?
No, I was showing. I was showing my dogs. And it was a nice little show. Nice to see everybody.
Great. We went down to, the devil went down to Georgia. Cheryl and I went down and met Brody and Margaret, his wife. And we rented a VRBO and went to the National. Pointer Nationals held the
convention. Pointer National.
Yeah. Now, Will, this is my luck. We get down there and we'd rented this VRBO because we've got four of us and two
VRBO.
Dogs. Yeah. I think they
say. What does that stand for?
I don't know, Will. I think it's vacation rental something, but they probably say it Vrbo. The kids probably say it some other way than me.
Probably, yeah.
It's old. It's like Airbnb, except their houses usually. So we rent this thing and the pictures are beautiful and we get there and the outside is gorgeous. Hedges trimmed to the nines, the whole thing. And we walk in and it looked like there could have been a frat party there or a bachelor party or maybe a murder.
Oh, geez.
It wasn't bad because there was four bedrooms, two baths, giant living rooms, hot tub that worked, but it was not, you know, they got the furniture two garage sales. It couldn't have been one because it didn't match. They're just all over the place. Cracked moldings. Here's the funniest part. These guys were squeezing profits. They must have hired some painter who never painted before. So there had to be some kind of wild times and destruction in there because there was paint that had to be touched up. So all over the house, especially in the bathrooms, they touched up the paint with a slightly different shade of gray. So it looked like...
No, let's just use this.
It looked like a Catahoula is what it looked like. All these different shades of gray. It's pretty funny.
No, I don't notice. Let's use this one. Okay.
Yeah. But it was pretty... You know, it was pretty... Actually, it was pretty nice. The yard was nice. All was good. Nice neighborhood. Until the third day when Brody went back from the show right to the house. And Cheryl and I stopped to pick up something. And he calls and said, we have no water. They didn't pay the cable bill or the water bill. It's 8 o'clock at night. Oh, Itachi's not happy, Will. I'm not happy at all. So I call the management company. They didn't quite understand the urgency of which I was trying to convey about you need to fix it, not in 15 minutes, right now. Well, I got a great response when I kept, you know, going up the ladder. And I said to the guy, now I was angry the first bit, but now I'm trying to get, you know, I'm calming down. And I said, you know, I'm a pretty easy to get along with guy. I understand these things happen. But, you know, I just retired as a real estate attorney from New York City. And, you know, I know about rules and laws and all these things. That you're a what, sir? Oh, I'm a retired attorney from New York, real estate attorney. But that's not going to play into this. I'll call you right back. Now, by the way, I'm not an attorney of any kind, but I was born in New York City. So it was kind of,
Yeah.
They called back in 20 minutes and said, would you mind moving to another house? And I said, well, it's getting dark. It's kind of not fun to pack up after we've been here, but we have no choice. He said, you're going to like it. Oh, Will, we liked it. This place was unbelievable. It looked like it came out of Architectural Digest. The detail, I can't imagine what it cost to rent this, you know, on a regular basis, because it was unbelievable. And it was real closer to the show, down a country road, no traffic, on a farm with miniature donkeys, and it was beautiful. So that went well. But back at the other house, they have a sunken living room. You know what that is? Some idiot decided it would look cool in the 70s to drop the living room. Well, guess who found how to... I found the different levels in one easy step. And that one easy step put me flat on my face in the kitchen.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, a fall in no water. Really like the place. Can't wait to write the review. But anyway, people are using VRBOs now, Airbnbs, at dog shows because you have more space for the dogs. But please, when you do this, Cheryl, she's going to make the place better than we moved in. We Swiffered the whole, it was all hardwood floors. Swiffered the entire house. There wasn't one dog hair left. If you're going to do these VRBOs and Airbnbs, please try to make it better for the rest of us. Because when they accept dogs, it's a big deal and it's a big responsibility. Yeah. And be aware, take care of don't leave poop bags around, clean up after yourselves. Really, if they have a Swiffer or a mop, and you have short-haired dogs with little white hairs all over the place, or get a vacuum or whatever you got to do. I use a shot. I always bring a little tiny vacuum for the couches, or duct tape will work too. Just stick it all over the couch if you get hair on it. Just be mindful that.
Right. Yeah.
Same as for hotels, but we all know about that. Stupid, you know, people doing
it depends on the individual, Wayne. Like, there's some people that are like Cheryl, they want to leave it better than they found it, and other people, they don't give a rat's whatever, they just leave.
And here we are, all these years into it, and you still have to remind people to pick up after your dog.
It's crazy.
I mean, come on, it's out of control, it just really bothers me. But anyway, it is one of those topics, you know, where we've exhibitors, I don't care if you're a handler or a first timer or an old breeder exhibitor or whatever, take care of your dogs, take care of your area, be responsible.
It's a hard thing to police. You don't want to police people, but some of them need it. Some of them definitely need it. It's almost like what you did saying you're a real estate lawyer. It was almost like you stepped above and that made them react.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Like I think I told you this story once before. We were at a restaurant back when I was showing dogs. My assistant, Kate, always did the schedule at the restaurant. So she was always writing. She was looking at something and writing, looking at something and writing. And we were at this nice restaurant. There's about four of us. And we were getting horrid service. I couldn't get the waiter's attention, couldn't get this. And finally, the waiter came over and we were talking away. And he noticed that Kate was doing this. And he said, what is she doing? I said, well, I said, we're from Toronto. We work for Tourism Toronto. We're doing a thing on your restaurant here. Well, things changed right away. Like, I asked her where the restroom was. They escorted me to the restroom and waited for me and walked me back to my table.
But what you don't want to do is scream and yell, right? You drop it. Nice. Nope. Like, yeah. I said, hey, I'm not suing anybody here. I just want to, you know, I know the rules and the laws of real estate. You know, you don't want to get on there. Yeah, stupid son, you know. But you have to be your own advocate and your dog's advocate. And you do have to, gosh, it's your responsibility. When you have these dogs, they're in your care. Do the right thing. Take care of them. We don't need any. You want to complain about animal rights people? Give them the ammunition. Treat your dog.
For sure. Poorly. People have no idea. Like what you just said, a conversation over a confrontation every time. Mm-hmm. It always is, you get further along every time. Once you start a confrontation, they want to defend themselves and it becomes a confrontation. So,
yeah. A lot more. Bears with honey, or what? There's something about honey and bears.
Yeah, something like that.
You're
from
up there. You know about that.
Yeah, bees with
honey.
You
probably have a bear. Do you have your own bear?
Oh, yeah.
Does he live in the igloo? Back there, you know, just... they sleep in the igloo a lot, do they?
Yeah, well, they like to stay near the warmth of the house. So they sleep underneath. And in the morning, I have to shoo them away before I put the beagles out.
Before you put the moose out.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
the only moose we have up here is Bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky.
Oh, goodness. Well, we've had our share of cold weather this week down here, too. But in Perry, it was pleasant. And we had, you know, there was a tornado warning. No, wait. Which one's the bad one? Watch the bad one, right?
Which
don't
is what?
Anything. Like, don't name your kids Jordan, Jeremiah, and Jenna. Don't name storm things warnings and watches. You get the first initials. It throws you off, Will, is what it does. It throws you off. So one of them is worse than the other. I think a warning is that pay attention to watches. Here it comes. Don't know. But what I did when they set off the tornado warning thing, I looked for someone from Kansas and said, where do you go? Well, I found one from Oklahoma. I thought that was a pretty good person to ask.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Thad and Patty Haynes because they live in Xenia, Ohio, where they do get tornadoes. So I did a meta-analysis of where
to go. Of course you did. Sirens going off. You're doing a spreadsheet. Well, where's right the best place for us to hide out from this storm?
I knew right where to go, exactly where to go. But they actually came into the ring and said, towards when it was getting closer, they said, that's the building go to downstairs, everybody. And no one said anything about the dogs. And I thought, are 2,000 dogs going down
in that shit?
Yes. In that room with us, no one's leaving their dogs. You know, they're not. But anyway, it's an interesting place. You know, I dread the facility because it's so spread out and it's dumb. Like it's not, you know, in New York City, we have streets and we have avenues and they're like a grid. Everybody can figure those out. The Greeks must have designed this fairgrounds because you can't find your way anywhere. I just built it, got it all. You just can't. And your GPS takes you home a different way every day because there's so many gates to leave from, depending on what gate you end up getting out of. It's a new way home. So, but, you know, the building for Pointers was separate. It wasn't the prettiest building. It wasn't the brightest building, but it was enclosed to itself. It was, however, very far from the Aubrey Ring. So no one came down from the Aubrey to see all this. And we had a superb entry of Pointers, better quality than last year. There was a bunch of great specials and some really exciting class dogs, 147 or 142, I think, for the National, and around 100 for the three supporters leading up to it.
Well,
I don't want to talk about this. Well, four different judges, and they didn't do it all exactly the same. Well, in the class, they didn't do it exactly the same. And then some were saying, well, you know, they did a better job. This one didn't do a good job. You know what? if you're qualified enough and you're selected to go do 100 pointers the week of the national, you deserve to be there.
Oh, exactly.
And I might not agree with you, but I will defend you. You know, one of the judges came up and said, this judge was fairly new in the breed and wanted to know what I thought. And I just said, describe this one win. And he did. His explanation was right on. Would I have done it? Maybe not. But if you can explain why you're doing it, who is any one person to say that's the only way it should be done?
Oh, exactly. In such a subjective sport as ours, I agree with you completely. You know.
And we need a diversity of opinions. If the same judges picked, if the same dogs won every single day, it wouldn't show you anything. You know, it would be, some people are going to come at it as more of an all-arounder, some as more of a breeder judge. We had a wonderful judge, Steve Rostam from England, who came over and did a fine job sorting his. He said to me, I've never seen so many dogs in the ring at one time in my life. It was pretty cool. So many pointers, especially. The specialist class was enormous. And, you know, he had to make his cuts. And then, of course, you send an English judge over and you're like, oh, by the way, after your best of breed and best of opposite, you've got selects and award of merits. How many? What are they? How do I find, you know, it's a lot to put on. He did a great job of sorting through. And, you know, who lives in Canada was Wonder's dog one day. And maybe even 2 days. I don't know. But
that dog had a good trip. Yeah, he was like he was best in sweeps and best in futurity.
And that's a litter mate to my son's dog.
Yeah.
That whole litter did real well. I told Brody, you know, she's a baby. What are you going to enter the national weekend for? Give her time. He had an award of merit.
Award of merit, Dad.
Made the final cut every day. What do I know? But it was really fun to watch the varying opinions and the varying ways, the varying ways that the judges approach the breed, what they were looking for. It's never going to be an absolute. It's like you said, it's a subjective sport. Well,
when you think of, like, when you told me what was happening, I thought, how does anybody, like if I watched you judge, I don't know, Irish setters, which I'm going to watch you judge Irish setters. There's no way I'm going to say to you, no, well, that was wrong, Wayne.
Might say I had a different opinion and we would discuss it and we'd both agree.
Oh, exactly.
Opinions. But, you know, as far as you're wrong.
How do you say someone is wrong? Like it's.
And if you're a judge, don't say it to your fellow judges. Support each other.
Exactly, because you need backup. Trust me.
It's going to be your turn someday in the barrel. Exhibitors are going to always complain about certain judges. And in my heart and in my head, there are a few of them out there that I think are absolutely wrong and terrible every time. But they probably wouldn't have that conversation with me anyway because they wouldn't be interested or didn't know.
And they probably wouldn't be invited to judge such an event.
No, they would not. They would not. But you want to complain to your spouse or to your closest friend in the world that you can have confidence in? Fine. Right. But going around and ripping on each other is just not getting anybody anywhere.
No, it's just not. It's not going to help anything, you know?
Yeah.
If you watched me judge, you felt I messed up in something, I would expect you to kind of steer me in the right direction I wouldn't expect you to belittle me or anything like that. So.
No, and it would be you and me. It wouldn't be the world.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Although the rest of the world is listening, but it would have. Will, everyone you judge that dog. What were you thinking?
What's the matter, you idiot? You know, another thing that I was conscious of all week, all four shows, was the difference between a show dog and a good dog, in my opinion, anyway. And as a breeder, how I'm evaluating breeding stock, and I look and see a bunch of dogs that are beautiful but are tending towards a certain edge or fault.
Right.
I can't help but look for a dog that can help fix that, or at least shows some contrast. Might not be the popular decision. The show dog's always the popular decision.
But that's interesting, because I interviewed Sean Delmar this week.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's the ex president of the Irish Kennel Club, and he was fascinating. I had a great time with Sean. He's so funny. He's so well spoken. But we were talking about judging as well, and he told me when he his hardest time was when he judges a class that nothing appeals to him. Mm-hmm. He's got to find a winner. And he came down almost to the same conclusion as another friend of mine told me once, is he looks for that dog that if he was going to start breeding this breed, mm-hmm. and he had the choice of these four dogs, which one would he start with? And that makes perfect sense to me.
When I find myself, and this happened at this national, I'm looking for something I haven't seen before, and the young ones, and I'm putting tick marks next. And I had about six tick marks up to, you know, maybe before the breed for sure in the classes. And I looked, and there were all five of them were sired by the same dog, a dog I never heard of. And that's why you go to nationals, to find right. stuff like that. I'm going to go see what I can find out about that dog, because everything that I liked, I couldn't believe it. You know, usually if one or two of this one, five of the six. And I don't know what, maybe it was luck, but I don't know.
You do get greater appreciation for certain dogs that maybe weren't on your radar. Like I remember being at a national one time, and the same thing. Like every dog I started to like was sired by this one dog. Mm-hmm. And I ended up telling my client, well, I think we should breed to this dog. Yeah. Even though we had competed with this dog, and I was always like, beat me, blah, blah, blah. But then I start seeing things, and he does well for himself and the breed. So
yeah. Well, the interesting part in this case is I know the dog's brother, and he's a real good one. This is the inferior brother, slightly inferior brother, but he's producing, and that happens, right?
Well, for sure it does, yeah.
You get the one that didn't quite make it as a special, but did okay. And then everybody forgets him, and you're like, wait a second, not bad. And well, anyway, it was fun to see. It was fun to see the kennels represented. It was fun to see. But most of all, Will, and this is why you go to nationals, right? We haven't been, Cheryl hasn't been to a Pointer National in, I don't know, 25 years. I've been to a few. But there were people there that were in our wedding 42 years ago that we haven't seen in 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And, Kim Meredith, I love, and we get along so well. And Cheryl's always hearing me talk on the phone to Kim. So she hadn't met her. So she walks up to her and goes, oh, you're my husband's boyfriend, a girlfriend. They both had a good time. But it was great to meet people, to meet new people. We did meet some wonderful new people. And but to sit with people that have been in the breed for 50 years, it was a good half dozen or more of us. And we sat together and talked together, and it was wonderful.
Well, it's amazing because you brought that up. I've spoken to a few people that were at the Pointer National just in passing. And the general thing was, we got to spend time with the Kavanaughs.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, they had. They're such nice people. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're nice people. Yeah.
And I always make a point to go over to the person who, I don't know, they're not in the in crowd or whatever. You know, they're kind of maybe don't dress real well or don't have big winners all the time, but they've been shown before. I want to make certain that I have time for them and go have a chat with them instead of looking over my shoulder for the next famous person, which we all know people in high positions that do that. And it really infuriates me.
Oh, for sure.
Always looking over their shoulder. Who's more important? Like, you know, smack him right in the head with a puck.
When we all know it's just you and me.
Smack him in the head like bunting. Oh, I didn't go there again, did I?
Oh, you set me up again. He's gonna get two games for that. He's gonna get two games for that.
I hope so. You know,
it's okay. That means it opens up a spot for Matthew Nyes, who I think should be there. So
yeah. Well, you know, with Hedman out now and Cernak, that was a pretty good whack bunting out on him. Illegal.
I don't know what happened to Hedman, though. I didn't see what happened to him.
He's had an injury all year, and I think it was just something he aggravated. And he's the best defenseman in hockey, period, for me.
Yeah, he has been anyway, yeah. He's a specimen. My God, I watched them play last year. Just watching him skate around the ice, he's like a thoroughbred out there. You know?
That's what he reminds me of, a thoroughbred. He really does. Yeah. And by the way, he probably is a thoroughbred dog, and that's the topic. So how about those dogs, Will?
So you steer me into a topic, and then I grab it. You're like, push it away.
But anyway, Perry's an interesting place because, you know, there's this giant fairgrounds, which somehow got built 2 hours from the damn airport. And then they strung up a bunch of cheap hotels, which are awful, and a couple of fast food places. But when you go out a little bit on the out, I never gave it a chance because I hated it down there. And I went to the little downtown. We had a wonderful meal, Steve Herman and Cheryl and I. And Steve and Cheryl haven't seen each other in 30 years. We had a wonderful dinner at this great little restaurant downtown. And it was just, you know, once you give it, if you fly in and just go to the fairgrounds, you're going to probably think a city is ugly. But I finally took the time this year to drive around, and Perry's all right by me. So except the drive to the airport. And then when you get to the Atlanta airport, oh man, why does anybody fly in and out of that thing? Yeah. You park, you take 15 trains for your car, you wait on lines forever, and then it's crowded. And this, you can't even get in the sky clubs because they're all packed. I like to fly out of Kalamazoo like Wings, the TV show.
Yeah.
Pilot takes your ticket, puts your luggage on, and flies you, Will. It's nice that way.
Yeah, it's like, we have a small one just in Hamilton, too, and it's a great airport. If you can fly out of Hamilton or fly into Hamilton.
But Atlanta does have great connections everywhere, and I'm sure that people live there and get used to it. We had a crowded day and it was.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta's always been a busy airport.
Yeah. But other than that, life's a cabaret. So we had a
wonderful. Life's a cabaret.
We saw a lot of great people. I didn't see anything except I walked up one night. There still was a group going on. And by the time you find your way from the Pointer Building up to the Aubrey Building, it's midnight anyway. There are people calling for taxis and Ubers. Is it Uber or Uber? Uber, right?
Uber.
Yeah. Yeah. And to get back and forth, because you have to have a golf cart and a map, but the maps don't even work. You know what I do love about those shows, though, Will? They have these little restaurants around the showgrounds, and it's home cooked, like peach cobbler and things that are bad for you, but they're delicious.
Oh, peach cobbler. Yeah. No better place, right? In Georgia.
We went every day for breakfast and lunch.
For peach cobbler?
Well, actually, I did have my share of peach cobbler. Hi, Cheryl. She's home. Did you get the eggs?
The eggs.
Wonderful.
And the peacock got so big, and it came almost all the way to the car, and then it went up on top of the little white house.
Really?
It's huge.
Our veterinarian is a farmer who has peacocks and eggs. It's chicken eggs, but peacocks protecting something. They're big and awful. And they're pretty, but they're mean. And the peacock came out and greeted her and then jumped on the roof of the house. Put on a display, that's for sure. But they, and she's got a maremma that paroles the farm too.
A what?
A maremma. It's a Kuvaz-ish breed.
Wow. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, yeah. They get right in with the sheep, the whole thing like a Kuvaz. And Pyrenees kind of thing. But she was losing chickens to fox. Yeah. She hasn't lost one since the maremma came along. Although I've got to say that we don't get it out of the car often when the maremma, we get our eggs by rolling the window down and grabbing
it. Drive through eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. But boy,
I get my eggs from Captiva Egg Farm. Jill has chickens, so I get my eggs from Captiva.
Get them. Fresh eggs are the best. Are the best. Anyway, we were talking earlier about judges and how that community sticks together pretty well. You know, in the group area, when you're sitting at ringside, I didn't see it this weekend because I wasn't there for groups, but I've seen it just recently. You got to be careful what you're saying in there. People are listening. Other judges are listening. And if you're promoting a dog while you're sitting there, that's not the way you should be sitting there. If you want to discuss breeds, that's great. Positive comments on breeds, that's how you learn. But get in there to promote a dog and pimp it hard in front of everybody. The other judges see that. The exhibitors hear it. You know, it's not like there's a sound wall around that pit of judges, you know, in the group ring. So a little more respect for the sport's always a nice thing, I guess.
It's true. And I always like it, though, when you're sitting there with somebody at ringside and they start and someone beside you starts downplaying a certain animal. Yeah. And then the guy next to you taps you on the shoulder and you see that they've got their phone up there on Facebook Live doing the group.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Or they tap you on the shoulder and say, that's the owner sitting next to you.
That's right. Yeah.
That's always a good one. But yeah, it was a lot of people were there. I don't know how they do it. 2,200, I think, there. And there was big shows in Harrisburg as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a far run from one or the other. But by the way, people were doing it. One of our buddies came out of the ring and said, I've got 45 minutes to, or an hour and 45 minutes to get to Atlanta and get my connection so I can fly to Harrisburg and show something. I said, that's not going to happen. It's an hour and a half in the security line there.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Yeah. The worst I ever did was drive to a show after a show.
But that was Eddie's fault.
Well, that was different. But I mean, when I was on the road with my dogs,
yeah.
One time I started off a weekend somewhere and was getting my butt handed to me. So I thought, I have to get the heck out of here. And I drove all night to the next show. I only did that once because that's such a wear on your body and your The dog doesn't get any sleep, really. You know, he's in the back of the truck sleeping, but they're wondering what's going on. You've changed their structure. And
not about it. But, you know, that's the race for the a race for the whatevers, you know. The rankings and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Sport. I got a wonderful email from, I didn't ask his permission, but a lovely guy in Portuguese Water Dogs. He's just a lovely guy and bright. He wrote me the nicest email yesterday about refocusing on the breed judging and an article I wrote about it that he read recently that he said he's changed his whole approach and he's focusing now more on specialties and supported entries. He's only shown his dog 4 weekends since the beginning of the year, and it's number one all breed and number one breed points. And he hasn't gone to many shows. He's just focused on the big breed entries.
Right.
And he said those wins are far more important than a group win.
And they're satisfying. They're satisfying. You know, it's when you go out, like when I go on the West Coast and I take whatever beagle with me, when you win the variety over 40 or 50 beagles, you feel like, wow, you know?
Yep. And I don't think anybody at the Pointer National would trade a breed ribbon for a group win.
Yeah.
You know, that was a wonderful reminder how those big breed entries, which we used to have, and I think even more so, well, with specialties and supported entries now, it becomes even more important because the rest of the year, you're going to beat 2. And while you're doing that, you never go head to head because with 10 billion shows, no one's going to go ahead. You get those calls all the time, right? Are you going to whatever? Because I've got 2. Let's split up.
Yeah. You know,
that's just the kind of thing that dilutes everything. And those breed wings. So, and I'm just so pleased when I hear that people are enjoying refocusing on specialties and supporteds and breed wings. The groups are just gravy. Yeah.
They are. They're the icing again, but it's because those wins, like I said earlier, the satisfaction of winning a big breed win, and especially under someone you really respect, it's a best in show win.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just, I guess because of the small breed entries, the group wins became more important to people because
People start overlooking the breed. They think, and they surprise themselves sometimes because they look when their eyes go to the premium list, they go, oh, look who's judging the group. Well, then another dog shows up and whacks them in the breed and they don't get to see their little group judge.
But, what do you think about not publishing the group judges' names?
I don't know how that'd go.
It would change things, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure. Because then they'd have to look at the full panel and go, who was judging this morning group?
Yeah. I think it would be cool. And it wouldn't be a surprise because every judge on the panel has five and six groups these days, right, where they don't get hired. So it could be any one of them. And maybe you just put their names in a hat and the super in the show or the superintendent or somebody pulls out the name in the morning and goes, okay, that's who's doing the sporting group. So you couldn't enter for best in show and group. You could only enter for breed. That would be curious. That would be curious.
Yeah, for sure.
Not the way our world works, unfortunately. But
I want to talk about something too. It happens every year, sometimes twice a year, and it's the onset of the dreaded kennel cough.
Oh man!
And people, not so much anymore, but people used to look at if a dog, they saw a dog in it, and they heard a dog cough at the dog show, and they would turn and stare at the owner and like they just brought the plague. It's such a hard call because now I understand, like whenever my dogs had coughs, they stayed home. Yeah. And I've been on the way to a dog show and have my truck start coughing and go home. Mm-hmm. It's a responsibility of all exhibitors. I don't like when people look at them like they're dirty, you know, like, oh my God, look what you've done, what you've brought into our world. Mm-hmm. It's unavoidable. Even if you get the vaccine, it's like the flu. You still might get it. When you see somebody look down their nose at somebody because they think their dog coughed. Well, usually the people that look down their nose are the ones that have the coughing dogs as well, and they've been through it. But it's such a hard call. I appreciate when people are responsible and try to get the dogs out of there, but it happens. It happens.
And they look down at the person like they caused it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You didn't give it kennel cough. Now, I do get, and you too, we all get disappointed or mad when someone has it and keeps showing all weekend anyway.
All weekend, yeah.
I know in both of our cases, if we hear it, we pack up and go home.
And even this fact that you've packed up and go home, let's face it, it's already there. Yeah. You know, it's theirs. It's airborne. It's already there. And you've gotten your dogs out of the situation, but it's there. I mean,
and if there's one at the dog show coffin, it's not just one.
Right.
You know, we worked in an Italian restaurant when I was in high school as a dishwasher or something. And there was a mouse, and the owner said, "We need to get a mouse trap and catch the mouse." And the cook said, "We need 20 mouse traps." Yes,
there's one mouse.
There's 20. The same thing with kennel cough. You're not going to be the only dog at a show with kennel cough. It's going around. It's going around. And that's just the way it is. And
you just got to be mindful of it and to do the best you possibly can to keep it somewhat separated, you know?
And if you're like, oh, but I really need this group win because, you know, I'm going to lose the record or the ranking or some bull. I got to stay and let it cough. On it, you know, you look like an idiot, and that's when people can get mad at you.
Right,
they deserve it. But it's every year, you know. It's not going away.
Yeah, exactly.
Bartella spray and all that stuff, it helps a little, but these are just like a cold or a flu. There's a million kinds, and we don't quite have the cure yet.
Well, every fall at the kennel, it was because it was usually the fall or the spring that it appeared. And you take advice from different people. Like I remember talking to Mark Throffel about it. Lysol spray. So you spray the whole place down Lysol spray till your dogs are sneezing.
Joking.
Apricot brandy.
Swing garlic over your head. Take a live chicken wing and put it on your armpits. And then flap your wings like a chicken and put olive oil on your face. Yeah, we all got those. But it needs to be. You need to do the Bartella, obviously. But, we boarded when we were up north. We boarded Hazel for a couple of days. We were going on a day trip at a little local kennel, and it was a wonderful place. The next time we tried to board her there, they said, "We had a dog with a kennel cough, so we're closing." And I thought that was mighty fair of them. And then when
that's the responsible thing to do. Yeah.
And then when they did open again, they called all their clients and said, "We had it. We think we've got it. We haven't had a cough all week. It's your chance, your choice. You want to board here, you can." And I thought, man, if you're keeping your eye on it that well, good for you.
Yeah. So, And 98% of the people are very responsible about it and trying to take care of the dogs and take care of the area and their other people's dogs. And like, you'll see a handler or a dog show on Friday and all of a sudden they're gone on Saturday. Where are they?
Yeah.
That's what happened. And they're being responsible ones and they're leaving and getting their dogs home to look after them and taking the cough away from the other dogs, which it's already there. So.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of ours, Will, about what we can do to, you know, to, I don't know, put ourselves forward better to the sport, to the public. I mean, public. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly one way, right? Being responsible, taking care of your dogs, not trying to infect everybody with kennel cough, just acting responsibly, taking care of things. It just doesn't reflect on you. It reflects on our whole sport. And we do need better PR for our sport. And a tip of the hat to Westminster, they do something that works every year. They send press releases to every judge's hometown. And, they did our local paper. They have a big electronic presence now, the newspapers. So the online version was, there was a video and a bunch of photos and a whole article and very great promotion for purebred dogs in Westminster. And then the newspaper came out yesterday and our little beagle Hazel was the whole top fold, a big photograph of her and a long two-page, full-page article on the garden and its history and what it means to everybody. And it's, you know, little things like that in everybody's newspaper around the, we need more
promotion. Well, you have to tell me that the article was telling the Kalamazoo people that a Kalamazoo resident was judging at Westminster, and that was you.
Yeah, that was. But Hazel was the star. Her pictures were better.
Hazel was the star.
But they did.
You were there right beside her. Yeah. I saw the picture. It's a wonderful picture. And it's great that your community now knows that you are on that level and judging at Westminster. And most of them probably already do. But the ones that don't, now they know.
I got some funny emails.
You can expect bangs on your doors and people sitting out front of you. Oh, I know.
had to potty train their dogs. That's my fear.
Exactly.
Can you get me a miniature golden doodle? That's good. I did get an email from Brody's second grade school teacher saying, I remember Brody telling me stories about your family and the dogs. It was pretty funny. But really, it was nice to see an article. And yeah, they mentioned the local judges, but they tell the story about Westminster and the importance of it. Yeah. And it's just and all about positive stuff about purebred dogs. And that's what we need. So I don't know. Our clubs used to always reach out to the local newspaper and the local radio stations. I don't know if much of that is done anymore.
Oh, usually when I was a kid, it happened a lot. Yeah. Like I remember even when I was, I remember being in a dog show in North Bay and then somebody mailing me the North Bay Nugget, which is their local newspaper. Yeah. And there was me showing my Doberman puppy and I'm about 10. But like that happened a lot back then. You'd see that they were, the press was covering the dog show, even as press that was as busy as the North Bay Nugget.
Yeah, slow news day. I don't know. But really, I think it's human interest. And newspapers want something fuzzy and friendly these days. You know, I mean, geez, they got enough bad news. There's no shortage there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, something like just getting the good word out, we can all do that. Clubs can all do that. And I think and it also gets spectators in. I know with our show here in Kalamazoo, we used to do pre-press on, hey, it's coming. And then we did the day after. Actually, we preferred it if we get a Saturday run on the Saturday paper because people would come on Sunday after reading. So, you know, there's things we can do and don't just lean on your club. Help. If you're a member of the club, it's not that hard. You just call the radios. A lot of those guys are sitting around the newsroom going, what am I going to write about? It's kind of like us, Will, with our podcast. We sit here and go, what are we going to talk about? So if you would call in and tell.
Yeah, give us some subjects and we'll do our best.
You know, I did have an email that I've forgotten. And I will check and find out. I apologize to the person and of the topic, but I need to visit again and see what it was about. A couple of them we touched on already today, but that one I forgot about. Anyway, there you have it.
Oh, what's I heard from our Kraken fan too.
You did?
I did, yes, because she was preparing herself for the playoffs, and she wanted to thank us again for getting her involved in the sport of hockey.
So. Yeah. I called her, I think it was around 7-3 last night, and congratulated her. Again? God.
You don't think it's hard enough to be a Maple Leaf fan that in a span of 45 minutes, I get three digs from my best friend?
By the way, folks, 7-3 was a score last night. And by the way, you should all know that I am a Maple Leafs fan. I just like teasing Will, but we both root for the Blue. And that also is the colors of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So it can be confusing, the home and away jerseys.
You that's know, probably what it was. The guys didn't know who to pass it to last night.
I thought they actually didn't play that badly.
They played horrible. they played horrible. It was from the first 2 minutes of the home, this is not going well.
Anyway, sometime, you know, Onion beat Secretary at once. So it could have been a one-off.
Well, now they're saying, well, last year we beat them 5-0 the first game, and look what happened. So now they're playing the other side. Now, see, we'll let them win this time.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, you know, they come down with the big winners, and then some local dog shows up, and you look at the judging panel, and you go, that judge lives 10 miles from here. What's going to go on today? And the big fish did go down. Onion beat Secretariat, the Lightning beat the Leafs last night. This is all going to change, folks. It's going to be rosy, and the good dogs and the good teams rise to the top.
Well, just to, you know, just to put it in perspective, Las Vegas is, at some point this year, had Edmonton winning the West and Toronto winning the East and meeting in the Stanley Cup, two Canadian teams.
Yeah.
Well, we both lost game one, so...
That's just one game, Will.
Yeah, Canada, although Winnipeg Jets won their first game against Vegas last night. So hats off to the Winnipeg Jets and my buddy Sean and his, I'm sure he's very excited.
I
watched half of it, then I fell asleep.
So. Well, it's a long story, but we bought a house for my brother and his wife who are, you know, they've not had the best luck in the world. They're wonderful, wonderful people. But anyway, the home inspector met me over there, and it was supposed to be, you know, a quick half hour. He was finished, just wanted to walk me through. I came 2 hours later. I came home. She goes, where the hell you been? I said, the inspector's sons played hockey. It's worse than having an inspector's son that shows dogs.
Yeah. And I want to talk about it.
Yeah, just a little bit. But we sure do it, right? Oh, by the way, we were at this little restaurant I went to. I like to get the restaurants. My favorite restaurants are the empty ones and ones with no lines, right? So this was this restaurant got packed at 6 o'clock, 6:30. But we were there at 5, which is, you can get in and sit down. So it was just Cheryl. They have little rooms, like it's a Victorian house with little separate rooms, four tables in a room maybe. And it was Steve Herman, Cheryl and I sitting at one table. And we saw these other three people at another table. And it was quiet in that room. But if you were in that room, you could overhear. So we could overhear this person. And she said, that was a really typey bitch. And I turned to her and said, it's okay.
Yeah. But you see the ass end on that bitch?
Hindquarter on that bitch, whatever, right? Or the forechest, or whatever it could be. There's so many bad ways that can go wrong.
Oh, God.
And they both laughed hysterically. Said, oh, thank goodness we didn't even think of it. We're so glad you're from the show.
That's true, well. Yeah.
But
did you see that bitch go away? Oh, my God.
That bitch going away from you. Oh, man. I can watch it. I can watch you it.
And all people day. Getting up and changing seats.
But it does happen. But they were actually, one of them was a judge, so I didn't know her. There are quite a few people on this panel that not only I didn't know, I was asking all the other judges, like, I never heard of them either. But they hire a lot of local judges there, a lot of people from the area, which saves some money, I guess, on airfare and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, airfare prices. Whew, man.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
They're on the rise again.
I'm doing my first full group in America next week in Delaware. and it's a 7-hour trip. I looked at airline prices. I thought, that's crazy. I'm just driving. So I'm just driving.
I have the same situation. I'm judging some specialty of, I don't know, sporting drug specialty in Wisconsin. And it's a 6.5-hour drive through traffic, or I can take a ferry and drive 4 hours, or I can fly for $1,000 and then rent a car because the airport's 1.5 hours to go. So I thought, I'm just going to drive. You know.
I'm just driving too. I'm going to try to make a bit of a trip out of it. I'm hoping to squeeze in a visit with George and Marianne.
Yeah, that would be nice. That's pretty far from the show. Oh, no, it's not that far.
I don't think it's that far.
Because they live on the all the way on the coast on the other side of the state. But that's a lovely show. It's Lund's Pond, I think it is. And you can park your RVs in the woods right in a circle around the rings. It's a really cool. Have you been there?
No.
It's a cute little place in a park. You'll love it. And Chris and Kelly and Doug and Holloway, this is, and Chris Berg, they do, and there's others. They just do a great job of putting together fun panels who are knowledgeable.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is on the panel with you, but I assure you it's going to be a good bunch.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, it's my first full group, so I'm looking forward to that. My first full group in America.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, Will, but the way we do it now, we changed it. In the group, you have to write each breed names in the name of each breed in a book. You have to spell it out in hand. So practice. Yeah. Is it, I think there's 107 breeds in the sporting group now. Practice the spelling when you're.
How do you spell Quakerhunja?
Niederlander Quakerhunja. But you do. The good news is they've typed it for you, Will.
Oh, okay, good, good.
And now you might not know what the breed is. You may do it by process of elimination and say, okay, I know these three here. Well, that looks maybe like it could be a fling, dipple, whipple, popple. You know, that's how you have to do it. So
I have to tell you, one time, our dear friend Doug Belter, we were in the herding group together, and we both at that point showed rarer breeds in that group. And the judge was making the cut, and we were side by side because we like to do that. And he looked towards us and he said, "You two." In the cut. He did. You two.
I always thought it'd be great if a judge did have to write instead of just the armband, if the judge had to write the breed's name in the book, wouldn't that be funny? My group winner was, I'm pretty sure it was a Sesky or whatever.
I'll tell you, I won the sporting group one time, and it was after the cut was made, and it was a gentleman judging, and he was a little elderly. I'm obviously not going to say his name, but he said, first place is the American Cocker Spaniel. There was no American Cocker Spaniel. I was showing the English Springer Spaniel, so I was the closest, so I went running out.
That's right. I remember when I worked for the Forsythes, whenever Janie was starting a new Irish Setter special, she wanted to win right off the bat. And whoever the judge was a bit older and maybe a little at the end of her best years. And she pointed to something. Oh, no, it wasn't that at all. She went to make a cut. And when she brought the dogs out, Janie was towards the front of the line. I don't even think she was the first one. But when she brought Janie's and the Irish Setter out, there was a platform in the middle of the ring back then. She ran right up on it. Thank you. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
We had two, your son and my son, your son in quotes and my son were, this is, I don't know, there's 60 dogs in the ring. And the judge had, this is at the Pointer National, had pulled out two at a time, then moved them and then put them back in line. Well, he pulled out Brody and Adam, which we thought was hysterical because they're battling out our two kids, right, in the middle of the ring. And he never told them to go back in line. So Brody said to Adam, what do we do? And Adam says, don't move. He didn't tell us.
Stay here.
Pro move.
Yeah.
That was good to see everybody. We really did have a good time. And that's, at the end of the day, Will, we go to these shows for the dogs, but we stay at the shows for the people.
Oh,
it's
let's face it. I'm still showing dogs, and if I didn't enjoy the people at the shows, why would I keep going now? Like it's
true. I mean, it was so good to see these old friends and talk about old times, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. It was a great show, very well run. I just thought it was a good boost, a good refresher You need those once in a while. If you judge twos and threes in some hot, God-forgotten 400-dog show, ones, two, threes, one, two, three, and then you get to this and you realize it's all good. When's the next league? It's
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah. Tonight is Edmonton against LA. I'm going to watch that, but I'm also going to watch Boston versus Panthers.
Yeah.
Those Bruins, Boston, they are a juggernaut.
They are. And I'm an underdog kind of guy, and I never liked them anyway. So my favorite team is who's ever playing against Boston.
You see, I'm a Boston fan as well. I'm not as obviously not like the Maple Leafs, but I'm a Boston fan. And I want to watch them. And I'm pretty sure the Panthers aren't going to get by them.
Yeah.
But I want the Panthers to take a bite out of them.
Me too.
So they're softer for when the Leafs get the next round.
And let's be clear that I was a Panthers fan before when there were 300 people in the stands. So I've got my Panther love in there too.
But I like watching the Panthers play, and I love their coach, and I love Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah. So this is the best time of year, Wayne. This is the Stanley Cup playoff.
Yeah, you've got
hockey every night.
I think the Kentucky Derby in Westminster, like back-to-back this year, right? First Saturday in May is the Kentucky Derby.
Usually. Yeah.
Second Saturday in May. So they're going to be real close. So we got Stanley Cup playoffs, Kentucky Derby, Westminster. It just doesn't get any better.
No, it doesn't. I had that conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about Westminster, and they didn't really know a lot about Westminster. And when I explained to them that it was the second oldest sporting event in America next to their beloved Kentucky Derby, they got a hold of it. They figured it out.
Yeah, I bet they did.
They did.
They did. That's pretty. We can never film this, can we, Will? We can never.
Because if they did, they'd see Wendell Clark running across the screen.
A bobblehead just went across the screen. I was holding up newspapers with my Beagle picture on it.
Ty Domi. And my very favorite, Mike Palmateer.
Oh,
there it goes.
Don't make me pull out my Victor Hedman puck. My
well, and next to that, I have my Seattle Kraken puck. See, look at
this. Oh, that's
look a nice. That. And this even has the date on it and the game I went to, January 16th, 2023, Seattle Kraken versus the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Who won?
Tampa Bay.
That's why I've got my Victor Hedman puck. Apologies for all the hockey talk, but it's a competition. It's a sport. It's a brotherhood, too, and a sisterhood. I can tell you when those players leave their sport, they miss the camaraderie and their friends the way we would if we ever left the sport of
dog. And I'm sure in their off time, they're talking about dog shows too. So.
Absolutely. All of them. That's what they talk about.
I'm sure Victor Hedman is sitting there chatting across the ice with Justin Hall about, did you see that Irish center?
They're saying, did you see that bitch go down and back? That's what they're anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
I've got a long drive to Wisconsin this summer sometime. You've got a long one to Bear, Delaware. That's why we have the dog show. Yeah. Will, you can finally listen to our episodes.
Probably, yeah. I could do that, yeah.
Oh, Doc subbed in. And again, apologies. There was a family emergency on my part. We couldn't do the podcast last week, so Doc ran our second podcast. You've got to listen to first 5 minutes of it. Because the sound quality is brutal. There's no music. We just start talking. It was absolute. It was the.
Maybe he did that just so we know that he's doing his job.
We've slightly improved our game. We don't want to get too good at this because it would look too fancy. But
exactly. And like he's added these subtitles for everybody, but it doesn't matter. We're on radio.
Subtitles would be funny. Oh my goodness. Anyway, next week I want to talk about foreign judges because we had a couple. We had a great one this.
All right.
In Perry, and how that all plays into things. So refreshing to talk to him afterwards about where his head was and where it was coming from. So a fun time was had by all. Congratulations to the Pointer Club and the Pointer people for all their funness You get third in a big class there, and it's a big deal.
Oh, I remember. I remember when you go to nationals, and when you asked the other day how it went, well, so-and-so went third, and so-and-so went fourth. You had a good national, you know.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Mary Dukes was showing me on her phone. The Whippet National was the same time.
We should talk about Leslie next week.
Yeah, definitely. The trophies the Whippet Club put together. Oh,
the record entry for Leslie last week. That's
artwork. There's one who deserves it, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But the artwork and the trophies and the details and the rosettes, it was just beautiful. Just beautiful. Yeah. Well done, Whippet Club. So there you have it. Anything else, young William?
No, that's it for me this week, Wade. I've got things to do and games to get ready for. I got to do my stretches, you know. Carb up before the game.
Make sure you've got fresh laces in your skates. You don't want to break a lace on the ice. All right, buddy.
All right. Everybody out there, please stay safe, and we'll see you down the road somewhere.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for offense, sir. So Ernie, use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie. What you
doing? Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Wait! I'm falling off the fence.
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc. Yeah, they want to see it in a blueprint. This is good. We're going to be here in a second, Wiener.